This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. And now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, untied a towel around himself. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. And it came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and had put on his robe, he returned to the table. And he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that's what I am. And so if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I'm with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This evening I want to talk about the things that we remember on this holy night, Maundy Thursday. Indeed, tonight, to borrow a phrase from tonight's reading from Exodus 12 and the first Passover event in Egypt, tonight is a night of remembrance for us as followers of Jesus Christ. And to remember in the biblical sense of the word means so much more than just a recollection. Indeed, anamnesis, which is the Greek word for remembrance, as Jesus in his words says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Anamnesis means to give your whole attention, your whole and undivided attention to a thing. Even more than that, to relive a thing, which in many respects is what we'll be doing together tonight. Indeed, there are five things that we're remembering tonight. And the first is the Mandatum Novum. The Mandatum Novum, which is Latin for the new commandment. It's from the Latin word for commandment, mandatum, that this day, Maundy Thursday, derives its name. Maundy Thursday, or Mandate Thursday, if you like. based on what Jesus said on this night so many years ago and recorded for us in our gospel reading from tonight, John chapter 13, where he said, a new commandment, a mandatum novum, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, when you love each other the way I love you, and by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And so as believers, we're called not just to love one another, which, by the way, oftentimes translates into loving the believers you like and not so much the ones you don't. Rather, the new commandment, the mandatum novum, is to love one another in just the same way that Jesus loves us all. That is to say, our calling as followers of Jesus Christ is to love even those who may displease us, or even those who may mistreat us in some way, real or perceived. Or to put it as Jesus puts it himself in another place, to show true love and kindness even to our enemies. Indeed, it's interesting to note that Jesus didn't even need to leave the table where he was on this night, where he was celebrating for the first time this Holy Communion. He didn't even need to leave the table to find an enemy. Indeed, Peter, who denied him, and Judas, who would betray him, were both there. And then he showed them both nothing but love, not hatred, not resentment, not contempt, not even seemingly annoyance, but only love. And this is our calling, to love as Jesus loves. And when we really love as Jesus loves, and we prove ourselves to be true disciples of his, and when we don't love as he loves, we show ourselves to be something else. And that no matter what we may say about our relationship to him. And so that's the first thing that we remember tonight, the mandatum novum. The second thing that we remember is Jesus washing the disciples' feet, which is really an extraordinary thing when we remember the culture in which Jesus did it. Indeed, in Jesus' day, to touch another person's feet was considered to be personally degrading. Indeed, in Jesus' day, only slaves touched other people's feet, taking off the sandals of their betters and washing their feet, if that's what their betters required of them. And this, by the way, is why Peter balked when, and even protested when, Jesus tried to wash his feet. Peter thought it was degrading to his rabbi. Indeed, the Messiah of God, for him to wash the disciples' feet. But the lesson of the foot washing is that we are all called to serve one another, not grudgingly or with misgivings, but rather willingly and humbly and cheerfully. No matter how humble the service, even as Jesus serves each of us. And so that's the second thing we remember tonight, Jesus washing the disciples' feet, which is not just about something that Jesus did, but very much about something that we're called to do. The third thing that we remember is Holy Communion, which Jesus instituted on this very night, the night that he was betrayed, even modeling for us how to do it when we do it. Indeed, we take the bread because Jesus took the bread, and we bless the bread because Jesus blessed the bread, and then we break the bread because Jesus broke the bread, and we eat the bread, and we share the bread. And that's because that's what Jesus did. And likewise with the wine. And when we do so, we're not only remembering with our minds what Jesus did, but we were actually reliving what he did with our own hands, as he did with his. And when we eat the bread and we drink the wine, we feed on him in our hearts by faith, with thanksgiving, because Jesus is the bread of life. And unless we receive him and believe in him and feed on him in our hearts by faith, we cannot know eternal life, even as Jesus himself said. And so we read in John chapter 6 and beginning at verse 51, Jesus said, "I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And so Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. And whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me will also live because of me." And so that's the third thing that we remember tonight, the Holy Communion. Fourthly, we remember tonight the denial of Peter. Indeed, Jesus made it very clear to the disciples that on this night, he enumerated to them all the things that were going to happen to him, and that he would be betrayed by one of them into the hands of his enemies, and that he would be arrested, and that on this night his suffering and his passion would begin. But as we know, all know, it was Peter who pledged to Jesus, you know, undying loyalty, no matter what. In fact, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 33, and Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." But then in the very next verse, Jesus predicts Peter's denial. And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this night until you deny three times that you even know who I am." And that's exactly what Peter did. Indeed, when Jesus could have really used a friend, Peter, in order to save his own skin, Peter denied he even knew who Jesus was. And the cock crowed. And to be like Jesus, to live the kind of life that he experienced, is to know what it's like to be forsaken by a friend who has pledged undying loyalty and then doesn't, in order to serve his or her own best interest. And so that's the fourth thing that we remember tonight, the denial of Peter. Finally, we remember this night the betrayal of Judas. Now, it's interesting to me that Jesus allowed Judas to remain a member of his apostolic band, even while he knew all about Judas. But he did. Indeed, Jesus chose Judas to be a part, to be one of the 12. And he sent him on mission with the rest of the disciples. And Jesus washed Judas's feet. And he served him bread and wine at the first communion. And this all the while that Jesus knew just exactly who Judas really was. And so we read again in John chapter 6, beginning at verse 66. "And after this, many of Jesus' followers turned back and no longer walked with him. And so Jesus said to the 12, which would include Judas, he said to the 12, Peter, James, and John, and Nathanael, and Andrew, and Bartholomew, and Thaddeus, and so on, and Judas. And so Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? As the crowd has?" And Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And Jesus answered, did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? And John says, this Jesus spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. And Judas did betray Jesus into the hands of his enemies, very dangerous and violent enemies, and for money, and with a kiss of hypocrisy. And tonight, when we strip the altar and slam the door and the lights go dim and we leave in silence, we will remember Judas's betrayal. And that Jesus is captured to suffer and to die that we might be saved from the power and penalty of sin. Just as the prophet Isaiah wrote hundreds of years before it happened. And as we read in Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that and all the rest is what we remember on this holy night. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.